Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Come on to the rock show. Come on to the people show. Come on to the premiere show, SmackDown.
It's the 28th of March in the year of our Lord, 2002.
Tiger Woods, PGA Tour.
Will Young's Anything Is Possible / Evergreen, still evergreen. Celine Dion, A New Day Has Come, is still number one. But new entry this weekend, what was happening in the UK? Ali G in the House is the number one film at the box office for a week.
Just that one week, it was there.
It's all it needed.
But what a week it was. Yeah. I remember when Ali G was the cultural zeitgeist. What a time that was.
Oh, it certainly was.
It's funny.
I was one of those people that was... I didn't like the film to begin with because the trailer made it look like it was going to be what the last few minutes are, when it's all excess and he, you know, the guns and the girls and stuff like that. And it's not that at all, is it? It's a bloody British comedy film.
So yes.
It's all silly billy stuff and cheap. But you know what? I've come to enjoy it for what it is. You know, that time of life when, yes, Ali G in the House was the thing.
Mm-hmm. Will Young has, just to touch back on that, that song, Evergreen, I hear that in my head on a weekly basis, right? Because it's such, because that's a term that is used quite a lot in the YouTube glossary for create. You know, you'll no doubt hear your favorite YouTubers who make evergreen content. So whenever somebody mentions something in the office, oh yeah, we should do that because it's evergreen, i.e., like it's timeless and it'll just keep on keeping on. Whenever anyone says evergreen, in my head, I'm gonna take this moment and make it last forever. So thanks, Will.
Oh.
That's in my head every week in my job. Well, every week.
Ali G disagrees. He reckons that he had sex with an horse. Premier League club Aston Villa made a successful £5 million bid for Peter Crouch.
Up the Villa.
His home debut for Villa, the equalising goal against Newcastle United. Oh, fuck it, move on.
I like how one of the tallest footballers in the country is called Crouch.
I know,
it's great, isn't it? It's just great, isn't it?
Like, the one guy in ZZ Top that doesn't have a beard is Mr. Beard.
Yes!
Stupid joke. This week, BBC One announces the current hot air balloon idents, okay, the things that they show before and after TV programmes, are to be axed and replaced by a new set called Rhythm and Movement.
So this is kind of like the ones that we have now, where they're dances and stuff,
yep,
and people moving around and things like that.
That's right.
They're very nice.
The basketball court and the wheelchairs, yeah.
Yeah, they're really nice.
Very good, yeah.
I like
that
them.
Thing where they're in the oh, I don't know what it's called, but they're on like a string and it winds down.
They had a very unfortunate...
That was an incredibly undramatic way of summing up what they do. But
there was a very unfortunate one that aired, whereby they had the idents. So all these BBC idents, they, I say they're people dancing, they're sometimes people... it's like gatherings of people doing things. And there was one of bird watchers. And it showed the bird watchers in the rushes, and they step out with binoculars. And that's the ident. It's the Bird Watching Society. But it was the ident they used before a documentary on the search for Madeleine McCann. I'd love that to be a bit that I'd made up.
I thought it was.
But it's not. You can find footage online of the continuity announcer announcing the show over that footage. It's deeply unfortunate. It's not a rib. It's just deeply unfortunate timing. Deeply unfortunate timing.
Evergreen.
I'm going to take this moment. and also, it lasts forever.
Also this week, ITV Digital is placed into administration after failing to reach an agreement with the Football League over the $315 million quid three-year deal to air league matches. The company still owes $108 million quid, which it says it cannot pay after its revenue, which was not as good as forecast had predicted.
Congratulations. We have now covered the entire lifespan of ITV Digital on this podcast.
Yeah, they made a risky thing going, it's all right, we'll get the Football League. We'll just pay this much for it. And he goes, you haven't got this much. And he goes, yeah, ooh, ooh.
It was a risk in itself because it was. I love the idea that it was covering a lot of lower league football, but they haven't got the money that you need for this kind of operation.
It's crazy when companies do that. Yeah. Anyway, how's that Netflix deal going with WWE Network? Coal mining in Scotland, which has a history stretching back more than 800 years, comes to an end with the closure of Longannet. There we go. Coal mine in Fife after its owners go into liquidation. Bloody Thatcher.
Thatcher, eh, still.
The 74th Academy Awards, hosted by Whoopi Goldberg, are held at Kodak Theatre. Ron Howard's A Beautiful Mind, winning 4 awards. The film ties with Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings.
Beautiful Mind's a nice film.
Big game this week is the Resident Evil remake for GameCube.
Which one?
When remaking Resident Evil was a crazy idea, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I feel like they remake Resident Evil every couple of minutes now.
Yeah, but this was the first one, Resident Evil 1.
The first remake.
The really dark evil one.
Barry,
that they've re-released
where's
since.
Barry?
Yeah. And in Emmerdale, Ashley and Bernice have reached the point of no return, and Bernice is forced to break the devastating news to her devoted husband. Despite their best efforts to make the marriage work, it looks as though the future will be brutal. Due to Ashley's insistence on buying the rights to the Football League.
Oh, it's that Ashley?
Oh, that Ashley. Wow. Yeah. Mike Ashley, before he became a rich fat bastard, was an Emmerdale fat bastard.
But that was Mike all Ashley's the news. Football manager coming soon.
All that news was happening in the weird, weird world of reality. And we don't like that here. In the dream-filled areas of the Cultaholic Classic SmackDown review. So, what was happening in wrestling? What? I don't know. Let's ask Tom and Mafu. Maybe they'll know.
We might. Welcome Maybe. To the Cultaholic Classic SmackDown review for however long we've fucking got it for. What a week it's been, Matthew Gregg, in the boring world of wrestling. I know we should touch on it because we're recording this probably like a day and a bit before it goes out on the podcast feed.
Yep.
The Rock joined the WWE board of directors and immediately made a hire of a family member. The word for what that is fell straight out of my head. What's it called?
Nepotism.
Immediately made a nepotism hire. Made Ava the GM of NXT. And as we were digesting the news of The Rock joining the board, about 10 minutes later, they announced that WWE has struck a deal with Netflix for $5 billion, which you might be sick to the back teeth of hearing about, which is why you're here. But I will point out, we will address the elephant in the room, which is the fate, the very fate, of the WWE Network. Now, it looks as if the network is going to be moved to Netflix, but we don't know how much of the network is going to be moved to Netflix. And that'll be from at the end of the year. They are shutting down the WWE Network. It's disappearing and it's moving to Netflix. We don't know how much of it will go there. So obviously that raises questions about what we do, because this podcast lives on the fact that not only do we watch the episode of SmackDown, but then you can watch it with us if you so choose to. So it might change things. It might not change things. We don't know at this point. We've got 11 months to figure that out. I'll be married by the time the network shuts down. So I'm worrying about that as opposed to that.
I'll be crying at the wedding.
You'll be crying. You'll be next to me, which would be lovely.
You're right, Tom. As Lennon said, there are decades when nothing happens and there are weeks when decades happen.
Oh, it's and that is that. But you know, we'll keep you up to abreast on that on the cultaholic.com web space and other places. But more importantly, it's Saturday today. It is Royal Rumble Day.
Yeah.
And as you are listening to this, possibly, if you're listening on the day it goes up, myself and Matthew Gregg are off to Wembley! Yay. Box Park Wembley.
Oh, yeah.
Box Park Wembley! For the Hooked on Wrestling Cultaholic Royal Rumble Watch Party. Mate, me and you are going to be on the stage at Box Park in a few hours' time.
On the stage, we see clearly.
We see clearly with our mate, Fred Ottman, a.k.a. the Shockmaster, a.k.a. Typhoon, a.k.a. Big Tug. tugboat. I'm so excited.
Big tug, yes.
Big tug.
And we're going to give him a big tug.
That's part of the show. You've got to ask him a question. You've got to give him a
tug.
Don't
have him block the river like that one dude in Egypt.
And the Suez Canal. Yeah. We're going to use Fred Ottman to block the Suez Canal.
Ottman's not making political statements at these things.
I got the...
He says, I will not move out of the way until Nelson Mandela is freed. We're trying to tell him, Ottman. Oh.
He can form his own, his own country of people. We can call him the Ottoman Empire.
Hey!
I got the itinerary through for Saturday, just before we came in here. And my concern is, obviously because the Rumble's on late, so we're on late. We're doing the Cultaholic quiz. I'm hosting. Maff will be one of the team captains. And we're not on stage till like 10 p.m. And then me and Fred aren't doing the Q&A until 11. I'm worried we're going to be really sleepy.
Don't worry. All the nervous anxiety will be powering through like the ultimate warrior.
just there
when
shaking.
When I need the energy, I just think of bad memories of me as a child. They speak to me.
I'm at that.
The dreams in which I'm naked ring through the streets will power me through the interview.
I'm at that point in the prep leading up to it where I'm gone, oh, that's a really cool thing that's happening. I'm going to be on stage with a Q&A with Fred Ottman, and you'll be able to ask questions as well if you're with us as well. And I always have that little bit, just as I walk out onto the stage, before I do anything like this, because I've done a few things like this, I always have that moment, I walk out on stage and I go, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah.
And like, briefly, it's like, have I prepped? What have I got? What am I doing? Shit!
The worry that I'll shit myself will power me through.
And then...
if Ottman falls asleep?
I mean...
Never mind ye.
I said, can we sort out like strong coffee for both of us before we start? Like a nice big coffee. And then Alex said, make sure they don't get it mixed up with Horlicks this morning. I was like, don't say that! Put on his theme music. Da-da-da, rock-a-bye, na-na-na-na. We're gone. We're both nodding off.
If he does do that, we should get a bit of... We should do the old tradition of Buckaroo. All right, Ottman's fell asleep. I'm going to be quiet. Now we're going to stack stuff on, all right?
Ottman Roo.
Yeah.
Who can tip tugboats? I hope Fred's not listening to this and thinking, why are these two just...
Well, if he needs help sleeping as well.
this will certainly help. If you come in today for the watch party, we'll see you in Wembley, Box Park Wembley. We'll have a lovely... Oh, it's going to be a lovely... Rumble's my favourite event. Surrounded by good people.
There you go, Tom. That's the way to get through this. You go, even if we're crap, no one's going to remember because the fucking Rumble's on.
That's it. Yeah, that's it. When Hogan wins the Rumble, no one will remember.
The only way they'll remember us if Jack Ruby makes a guest appearance, all right?
I'd love it if Jack Ruby came by. What a treat that would be.
Ottman just goes, not again. Never explain why he said it.
How are you anyway? That's enough about me.
Oh, I'm very chip.
Very chip.
Yeah.
Chip.
That's how you say that, is it? Whatever, let's make up words and get away with it. Chipper. You know what? Because fucking Fraser and Jack have been talking about that upstage. Because they say, Jack says chipper, but Fraser doesn't. So in my head, I've taken on board. And you said, how are you doing? I'm feeling chip.
So you're in the middle.
In case Fraser's listening. Oh, I know what he means. Yes, I'm feeling great, mate.
Mm.
I'm feeling very motivated.
You're looking good. The moustache is looking magnificent.
Thank you. I'm still not sure what I'm doing with it yet, but it's, yeah, we'll play it by like the network, I guess.
And you can tell that the temperature's getting a little bit more mild in the UK because Maff's taken his coat off for the first time in 3 weeks.
Yeah. I can't have it on all the time.
We're down to two layers now.
Yeah. People say you should put even more stuff on. I'm like, what more could I put on? It's an enormous coat. I'm double layered underneath.
You're like Joey from Friends. Yeah. Just coming in.
Yeah, could I be any more close? I'll be like the dying of a day secret coat. Pay attention, Bond. When you're a boring podcast, press this. Some of your podcast mates, the small studio, just kill everybody. Yeah, so again, you can't do a 4-hour podcast, sat down, talk to people and still be, you know, full of good thoughts.
Yeah, it's tiring, this.
Yeah, so that will really not help things. Shut up. Because you've got your cocaine. What's in the news or mailbag, whichever comes first?
The coke does help. In the wrestling news this week. Right, so if you're the first time listening, I apologise. I'll talk you through some of the big wrestling headlines from this particular week in the year of our Lord 2002. And then Matthew Gregg is going to go through the happenings of this episode of SmackDown. And there'll be things that we add and talk about as we go through that. But in terms of the wrestling world this week, of course, the big story in wrestling world this week in 2002 is the draft. On Monday, the World Wrestling Federation drafted their entire roster, split into two brands, Monday Night Raw and SmackDown on a Thursday. Figure Four Weekly reports on this saying, when it comes to the draft itself, there is one major concern amongst all of that. Whilst this massive event is taking place, the future of Steve Austin in the WWF still is very much up in the air. And Figure Four says efforts were made by Vince McMahon all week to get back into Austin's good graces. Austin turned up to Raw the night after WrestleMania, was told, you've just got a promo this week, not sure what we're doing from there. And he went, fuck it, I'll go home. And this has kind of been the starter cap that in the tinderbox that has been Austin's last 4 months in the WWF, fed up of a lack of creative, frustrated, tired, angry of having to work with unreliable people in his eyes like Scott Hall and the NWO, and generally feeling like he's being shunted to the side in favor of other people. So it all got to a head on April the 1st, and he went home. And Vince has been trying to reach him all week. And the general belief, according to Figure Four, is that Austin would be on Raw for this week's draft. He wasn't. They mentioned him briefly. They said there's a clause in his contract, which means he can't be drafted and he can choose where he goes. The original plan was to have Austin and Rock as draft picks 1 and 2.
Makes sense.
So obviously have Austin as the top star on Raw and The Rock as the top star on SmackDown. Now, they obviously can't do that because Austin wasn't there to be drafted. And they wanted to, I guess they didn't want to guarantee he'd be on either show because it's still up in the air. So they gave themselves some wiggle room in the event that Austin doesn't come back for a while. The original plan was indeed to have Austin on Raw, but that would put him in the same company as Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, and X-Pac, which is something he would not like to do. Yeah. Now, the fact that he wasn't at Raw is a much bigger story than the WWF is letting on. He made it clear that he had more than enough money to last him until the rest of his life when he left. It's not the kind of thing someone says if they're taking a week off to go and think about things. There was a lot of unhappy fans who bought Raw tickets specifically to see Steve Austin. The big question is whether or not he shows up for the next house show swing through Florida, since he was such a huge draw and his name alone sold a lot of tickets. If he's there, everything's fine. If it's not, then according to Figure Four, things have reached a critical level. So,
not yet, but we're close. Oh. The doomsday clock getting close and closer to midnight.
It's about 30 seconds to midnight at this point. Now, the plan has always been to have the popularity of Steve Austin and The Rock buoy this draft. Austin on the Raw show in the house loop for Raw and The Rock on the SmackDown loop. However, it doesn't look likely that The Rock is even going to be a part of this going forward either. So the two big names they had for the draft that were going to be the spears of each show, Austin, we don't know, potentially not coming back at all. And The Rock, well, he's about to be launched into the sun through Hollywood. There's another massive project for him coming up that's going to take him off TV as well. Now, the rosters themselves, away from those two, were discussed and agreed upon just before WrestleMania internally. The men's and women's champions, Triple H and Jazz, whilst designated a brand, will be floaters. Not in that sense. But they will go back and forth and defend their titles on both shows, which I always liked as a caveat to a draft. Rather than making two separate sets of champions, have the champs be able to go between the shows. It makes those championships feel more important, I think.
Plus, it means, uh-oh, the numbers aren't doing well. We can have the champion show up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's an in case of emergency, break glass for whichever show. And when you've got the world champ, one world champion between two shows, it means that the secondary titles get a lift as well. You can make them more important. You know, the world champ's not going to be on Raw every week, but, you know, the Intercontinental champion will be there every week. So let's put some emphasis on that. Let's make that a top-tier title in the absence of a world title. I mean, they did that on Raw when Roman Reigns took the WWE title initially, and they tried to bring the secondary titles up to the fore, and they did quite a good job with that. This is only last year And I like the idea of them doing that. There were some minor changes during the week, and the picks were finalized as the draft was held. So up until the last minute, they were making a few little tweaks to who was going where. So Ric Flair's Raw consists of The Undertaker, Kevin Nash, Scott Hall and X-Pac, the NWO as a unit, Kane, Rob Van Dam, Booker T, The Big Show, Bubba Ray Dudley, Brock Lesnar, William Regal, The Hardys and Lita, Bradshaw, Stephen Richards, Raven, Mr. Perfect, Spike Dudley, D'Lo Brown, Sean Stasiak, Terry Runnels, Goldust, Trish Stratus, Justin Credible, Boss Man, Tommy Dreamer, Crash Holly, and Mighty Molly.
Sean Stasiak still around?
Yeah.
Well, that's what the idea of the draft, isn't it? To go, oh yeah, this guy's here.
That surprised me as well. Like, and there's a few that you just pepper in that you go, are they still there? SmackDown, run by Vince McMahon, gets The Rock, Kurt Angle, Chris Benoit, Hulk Hogan, Billy and Chuck with Rico, Edge, Rikishi, Devon Dudley, Mark Henry, Maven, Billy Kidman, Tajiri, Chris Jericho, Ivory Albert, Hurricane, Al Snow, Lance Storm, DDP, Tori Wilson, Scotty Duharty, Stacey Keebler, Christian, Test, Farouk, Taz, Bob Olley, the Big Valboski, not Val Venus.
I'll tell you a little bit.
The Big Valboski. This is the quiet rebrand of Val.
Because he looks like crap now.
And Perry Saturn. Mate, we lost Kane.
There's not only that we've missed, but we'll go through it. There'll not be a quiz at the end, don't worry. We'll go through it as a week. This is a very important episode, not just for SmackDown, but for this little podcast we do.
For the canon of this podcast, this is the last week that we have Kane on SmackDown for many, many years. In real time. We won't talk about Kane for a long while.
And, yeah, fuck Austin.
Mind you saying that, we'll talk about him on pay-per-view watch-alongs, on the retro reactions. Yeah, we'll see him there. Yeah, you'll be glad. You'll be glad. You love them.
I love them.
You bloody love doing them with me, don't you?
6-hour podcast.
You bloody do, mate. Other champs were divvied up. Raw gets the IC title, the European title, and the Hardcore title. And SmackDown gets the tag titles and the Cruiserweight title, which they're apparently going to put a lot of emphasis on.
It's every year up until like 24... or whenever... Not 2014. When did the CWC and the 205 Live happen? Whatever year that was, anyway. Sorry, I'm digressing.
2016?
I'm Neil Digress Tyson.
Now, Sunday Night Heat is looking like it's going to become a SmackDown show because the show is taped before SmackDown, so that makes sense. Metal and Jacked / their syndicated programming will become a Raw show. So if you watch Metal and Jacked, it'll be the WWF Raw lads.
You watch Metal and Jacked. Coming soon, the podcast feed near you.
You used to watch Metal every week.
I know, but...
on Sky One. Well, Cult on a Classic Metal Review, coming soon. The only other major changes during the week, Jericho and Billy and Chuck were moved from Raw to SmackDown. So Jericho was originally going to be on Raw. They bumped him to Smackers. Undertaker and Booker T were going to go on SmackDown. They're moved to Raw. What with the absence of Steve Austin, they needed a number one draft pick. So storyline-wise, Flair drafting Undertaker first is quite a good little story to tell. Mm-hmm. I quite enjoyed that.
That reaction of Undertaker taking off his shades backstage and then getting mad, that's where that's from.
Yeah.
You may have seen that online.
There's quite a few... Now, this is interesting because there's quite a few shocked faces during this draft.
Yeah, a lot of kickouts.
Yeah, because wrestlers that weren't among the top 20 in the draft, they weren't told at the show where they were going.
Yeah.
They were told to go to WWF.com and find out where they'd be
working.
Oh,
my God.
Several who were driving to Philadelphia ended up having to call friends after the show to find out what show they were on.
Oh, no. I didn't know that about the first draft.
They couldn't, and some of them couldn't find out for hours because the WWF servers overloaded.
Oh, no.
So many people going to see what was happening with the draft. But this is still quite common because you still get like NXT guys who don't know that they're being called up. When they did the last draft, you had people who didn't know. I get you want
it's
to keep
shocking
it.
Shocking that lack of. I thought they did it deliberately to mess with people, like Jim Ross that one time famously, but like.
Oh, yeah.
For other wrestlers, it's like, ooh.
I get you want to keep it a surprise, but it's really shit.
Yeah.
Really shit. Imagine if you came in one day and Pachiti went, oh, by the way, this is a cricket YouTube channel now. What? What, go on?
Yeah, they're doing great numbers.
Here's the cricket news. I don't know. I'll just give them to Atif Nawaz. He's my boy for cricket. Come and do this instead, mate. Now, Figure Four also says, as well as not being told where they're going, they're also not getting as much money. A lot of the undercard guys are being asked to take a $25,000 cut from their downside guarantee. Now, if business is good it's fine because they will make more than their downside guarantee. If business goes down the toilet, which it has not been great lately, it means that they're going to financially take a real hit on what they are, what their downside is. And there is also expected to be a round of cuts on the way. Despite the fact that they've just thought that this draft out, there's a chance that there's a lot of guys that are going. Now, people are being told they don't have to accept the cuts to their pay. They'll be told you're going to take a pay cut, and they can say no. But a lot of guys have 90-day cycles built into their deals that would allow the company to release them. So obviously, nobody wants to keep their job is going to say no. Like, do you want to take 25 grand less a year? No. Hmm. Okay, there's your termination papers.
I mean, they are bringing up, in fairness, they are bringing up a lot of new people anyways. We're seeing Rico, Lesnar, Shelton Benjamin and Charlie Haas, I guess, are waiting in the wings. So it's like, okay, who's not pulling their weight? Stasiak. How are you doing, pal?
The idea being that for guys like Stasiak, this presents an opportunity because the WWF program has been so bloated, and especially since the NWO came in, there is less TV time. This brand split will allow new characters at least the opportunity to fail, to sit or succeed on their own merit with the room to do so.
Of course. Wonderful, wonderful timing for a young John Cena about to make his debut as well.
Oh, yeah. But almost wasn't.
If that, I was going to say, if it hadn't happened as well, like this little brand split, it's very coincidental.
There's a few guys who get a look because they need to build the roster. And there's a future stars, there's stars of today who become icons who get a look in because of this brand split. Conan on Wrestling Observer Live said that Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero have both been offered deals with the WWF, but Rey hasn't signed yet. Rey was apparently rumored to be offered a $75,000 downside guarantee, which seems hilarious now because he's Rey Mysterio. Mm. But at that point, I think Vince went, well, lowball. I think this is them lowballing Rey Mysterio, isn't it, to see whether or not he'll come in.
He's only little.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, oh, Conan's going to talk some shite. Wait, oh, actually, those are both true. Fair enough, mate.
Vince, in general, hates the idea of downside guarantees. It's worth pointing out. He never offered them until Nitro stepped in.
And he doesn't have to now, I guess.
Yeah, right? So now he's excited at the fact that he can offer a bit less and then maybe get rid of downside guarantees altogether because he doesn't like paying them. Non-draft news. A couple of headlines in the non-draft world. The Big Show was on The Big Breakfast last week.
Oh, which is funny because it's also just ended.
Yeah, it's the last week of The Big Breakfast and The Big Show is on it.
He killed it. We blame you.
Apparently,
he ate The Big Breakfast.
Was as well as pushing WWF TV on Sky, he made loads of fat jokes. Bless him. He told the hosts, "I'm on the seafood diet. I see food and I eat it." He was asked if he gets a lot of love on the road. He said he was a lady killer. I roll over in bed and I kill them. And I'm like, oh mate, don't. Oh, I feel bad now.
I've not heard that second one before.
Yeah. The lady.
All right, though.
It's good. Yeah, but like,
so say, why should I be on? That's fat rest that you had on there. It was fucking Yoko and you killed him.
And he was on the bed with Paula Yates.
There's a British breakfast. Killed him.
Was it Paula Yates or was it Lily Savage who was on the bed with?
Paula Yates.
I think it was Paula.
Lily Savage was with Randy Savage, a Macho Man.
That was it. And they were, and Randy was like, ooh, I fancy you. And I was like, this is hilarious.
Hogan was like, Savage, you take this. Okay, brother.
Great. God bless you, Lily Savage. God bless you. Regarding that story that we did last week from Tokyo Sport of Ogawa being at Mania.
Oh, speaking of bullshit, here's right. Tokyo Sport.
No, they doubled down on this.
Okay, what was that?
They said there've been Japanese media stories as well as Ogawa possibly getting a look in for a WWF contract. Uh-huh. There's talk of the WWF running a Tokyo Dome show headlined by Ogawa versus The Rock. When's that happening?
It's amazing it took the decades for us to realise, oh, they're just full of shit, right? At the time, people were like, oh, it's going to be fucking great. But, you know, WWF will cancel it because they hate fun. You're like, no, it's what?
God, give me that.
Tokyo Dome. These fuckers were looking to sell out Sumo Hall. Tokyo Dome. No. The fuck? Hogan versus Tenryu couldn't sell out the Tokyo Dome in 91. So, oh no, Ogawa versus The Rock in 02 was not the Tokyo Dome. The Rock will have to use his shoe fighting background to take care of a car.
Gotta believe if Tony Khan was booking WWF, that would have happened.
Olympia Nagara is no match for the Scorpion Deathlock.
You may be a technical Olympic master, but how do you fare with the people's elbow? Yes! Give me that, you cowards!
There was also that thing a while ago, might be the same year, might come up, that like Takayama was having a match with Hogan and then declined it, and Hogan was like, oh, I was going to lose to him and all. And Takayama took that piece. I go, I could have beaten Hogan! What? There's no way it would have happened. No way.
Bastards. I'm going to drop this in. This is from The Observer this week. This has made me chuckle because it was based on a few weeks ago. Remember when we had that skit with Christian and the two little kids? And he was learning how to smile. He was doing with DDP.
Oh, what have these kids done
and
now?
And and when Christian goes, hey, kids, where's your dad? And he went, our dad left us, right? That skit was written by Brian Gewirtz. This is from Figure Four. The line was actually changed by Vince McMahon, right? The original line was going to be, where's your dad? Our dad died in a fire. A Christian storyline over two decades in the making. Oh, your father's dead.
Imagine. What was the follow-up line? Was just like, oh, sorry, I've been trying to give him smoking.
Well, Vince said, you can't say your dad died in a fire. And then Gerrit said, how about we say our dad had an accident and is in hospital? And Vince said, no, just say he left you. So it's Vince that put the kibosh on that, which is a surprise.
Vince going, it's a bit much for a DDP segment. And he did have a point, but yeah.
But yeah, so we nearly got the AEW Christian Cage just over two decades before.
Dead dad. Dead.
Your father's dead. Anyway, that's all the wrestling news. Over to this man, Matthew Gregory. He's going to talk us through this week's episode.
Do we have anything left in the tank after that?
It is the final SmackDown. You've got to get something in the tank because it's the final SmackDown with the full roster.
It certainly is, and you can tell by the people in the crowd. 13,600 in Philadelphia, PA at the First Union Center. Union. No, Vince, we're cutting people. No.
Vince got there a bit earlier than everybody else and just put a big banner over the word Union. The First Center. Call it the First Center.
I'm going to make you cry. It should be Onion. It's not a live feed, but we do have...
Onion Center.
We should have the team of Crash Holly and Billy Kidman defeating Humorous. Funny. And Perry Sutton, not funny. Mr. Perfect defeating Randy Orton. Well. Then Sunday Night Heat kicks in. Jazz defeats Molly in a women's title match. Lance Storm defeats Scotty Too Hotty with a super kick. Edge pins Goldust for low blow and a spear. Well done, Edge. And European champion William Regal pinned Tajiri with a double underhook into a powerbomb.
Ooh, that's a lovely move. Very European of him.
We open up with the news that the NWO is taking on Kane, Rock and Hogan tonight. And also, Green Lantern fan, Notorious Dickhead, is at ringside, looking confused and stupid behind Colton Lawler. The fan, who you may or may not remember, is the person who got married on Raw with Bobby Heenan making fun of him the entire time in 93.
Is that the guy?
It certainly is.
No way!
There's also the rumour and innuendo is that he attempted to gate crash, or to show up, I don't know, gate crash may be a strong word, but show up to Chris Candido's funeral. And he was told to fuck off.
Good. What are you doing?
He does not have a great rep online.
You can't, some people, you give them an inch and they take a fucking mile.
Hey, look, it's cold. For the last SmackDown of the undrafted era, aka Solomon's Judgment, as the draft is split in half, Booker T is here, as we see clips of Booker T putting away DDP despite Edge's interference on Raw. Lawler says that scissor kick knocked six of DDP's 90 teeth out. We get a ticker tape. I think that's the term for it.
Maybe yes, I put a ticker along the bottom.
Showing who was chosen for SmackDown's roster come next week, including Benoit, who is uninjured soon. He's being drafted, but he's not here yet.
He's getting better.
The idea of Benoit is in there. DDP can't get the spin on the big powerbomb because Big Booker T is big, so he just gets a two as crowd gets distracted by something else until DDP lands a heatless diamond cutter before Brock is here to drop DDP like a bad habit to end a match that was going nowhere slow. The newly drafted Brock Lesnar, who dropped Rikishi on Raw, as this push is going to go harder than French New Wave. Matthew's listening to the good stuff this week. I will keep up.
I just remembered something that I was going to do.
Tom has just wandered off.
If what I need is back here,
No worries. Tommy's just wandering around the... Tom is a distant voice. The idea of Tom has also been drafted into the SmackDown. The concept. The mere thought of Tom.
My concept has been drafted.
The glint in the milkman's eye of Tom.
Don't tell my father that. It'll be good.
Anyway, this was Booker T's last appearance on SmackDown for 2 years. And also Lesnar's last SmackDown appearance for 5 years. We're going to miss both of them. So yes, we'll have to just take our word for it that Brock is going to do pretty all right these upcoming months. So this is going nowhere. DDP looking all right, I guess. And Tom is back. We're looking for actual tickets.
There was, I'll let you in on it. There was a button I was trying to find. Like a buzzer.
Uh-huh.
Which we used previously. Because, I forgot to mention this, I have breaking news on the Cultaholic Classic SmackDown review draft throughout today's episode.
Oh, I see.
So I needed the buzzer, but I couldn't find...
We can just do the noise.
This
is an audio podcast, you know.
It is.
Hey, guys, strap yourselves in.
But for those who are watching on the video version, they might have appreciated a buzzer. So if you're watching on the video version, I apologize for the lack of buzzer.
Oh, sorry for those people.
Jesus. Might need something less annoying.
I was going to say, if he's on the subway to work or whatever, oh, boy, this will cheer me up. I'm going to take their earbuds. Ah, this fucking podcast.
Okay, we'll go bling.
Yeah.
That's nicer, isn't it?
Oh, we do the ticket. Oh,
yeah.
Breaking news.
Yeah.
Do you know about that, right? Like, obviously, there used to be the noise of the news coming in with those little big machines you'd see with the things winding off in the background. But they got rid of the noise because obviously it doesn't happen anymore. Those machines don't do this. But people request, like, can you put that noise back in? Because we associate that for decades. That was the here comes the news coming down the wire. So obviously machines don't do that. But for years they still have it, like, even though the machines, like, no, they don't. They don't do the bit thing.
They should do that.
They don't do the SmackDown intro, which apparently we didn't get one this week.
They should do. Hang on, I think I've got a nice noise here.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, breaking news.
There we go. Breaking. Hang on. Right, Cultaholic Classic SmackDown Review Draft Update.
We'll make this show in black and white.
Can confirm that Tess and his Nintendo 64 have been drafted to Raw. However, the N64 controller has been drafted to SmackDown. We'll have more if we get it. Back
N64,
to you.
Even in a retro podcast, the Xbox.
No, he's left the Xbox behind. I'm not choosing the draft. I'm not in control of the
draft. It's legitimate.
Oh, hang on. Wait a minute. Oh, well, getting word that the Xbox has been drafted to Sunday Night Heat. Gutted for the Xbox. Never mind.
Which is not broadcast in Japan. the theme of this week's episode is not just shit news jokes from the 1950s.
Oh, it will be mostly that.
There's a lot happening in a short space of time. So get used to that. Kurt Angle is here. And the crowd are going really hard on the "you suck" what chance. Angle is gutted that Stephanie got pinned in the three-way and was gone from the company forever. Oh, God, yeah, that happened on Raw, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She was a budding flower that was trimmed at her prime. He demands a moment of respect for Steph with the lights dimming and a sad picture of Stephanie on the screen as Angle does an amazing job of saying how annoyed he is at the crowd booing him and Steph. Angle implies he's going to charge the crowd and start attacking people for their boos, but then Vince shows up going, lawsuit, lawsuit, lawsuit. Vince is also mad at his daughter's name being desecrated, because it's his name, McMahon name, and it's worth more than everybody else's name here. Triple H is a model citizen. Reminds us all that Triple H embarrassed his daughter by marrying her and then beating her up on Raw. He's a son of a bitch. Steph is an ideal, sure, but she's as close to ideal as a daughter could be. Also, Triple H is going to be on Vince's show, SmackDown. Triple H comes out and says if Vince thinks he's been evil, sadistic, and rotten, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Oh.
And shows Steph being pinned and thrown out of Raw forever, with Steph doing an amazing job of selling the anger and having me dragged, kicking and screaming by two grown men. If you saw this, you'd think this had been a great feud. Angle is so mad, he wants Triple H tonight. Screw the title. He calls him an ape as well. Nice continuity, because we also believe on the ticker tape that the Triple H ape has been drafted to Jack.
I haven't had that confirmed yet.
Oh, sorry. Well, unconfirmed reports. Conan told me. Vince wants a handicap match tonight. But Flair, the GM of Raw, shows up. He woos a lot and says it'll be a tag match tonight with him. Woo, woo, Philly. Woo, woo, Betty.
So, did Frank Spencer turn up at the end?
Thank you.
I enjoyed this. Great segment. Great segment. Yeah. Like the You Suck What chants. Louder than I think I've ever heard them, which is over like Rover. I like trips with both belts. I like both belts. I'm sad that that time period is coming to an end with both belts, which we'll talk about next time. Is this the first tease of Evolution? Trips and Flair.
I hadn't thought about that. But...
Yeah. Mm. And I also liked how they did several power handshakes. Mm. Like an awkward amount of them. Like they did one to set up the segment, which the camera sort of cut away from. As Ric Flair was leaving, Tripp stuck his hand out again to do another, and Flair didn't notice for a couple of seconds. And then once they did, and then they lingered on them a bit longer, they did a third power handshake. I think one would have been plenty. It almost looked like they were desperate to get the shot. So they just kept doing the handshake, whether they were getting instructions from the from the back. Do the handshake.
Do the handshake.
Do the raw. Do the raw.
Do.
Jim Ross says that Hunter's quad is quite sore, but it shouldn't slow down his working process. I'm very nervous if he's back and he's already having some quad issues.
That's what you want to hear, first thing back.
It's exactly what you want to hear.
But sadly, you love those.
Oh!
Uh-oh.
Hang on. Breaking news from the Cultaholic Classic SmackDown Review Draft. We can confirm that Cuddles the Monkey has been drafted to the XWF. Gonna fuck all of them! And Dennis Norden has been drafted to the XFL. So good luck, Dennis.
Oh.
The joke is that I'm brittle. So we wish you best of luck. We can confirm that the Triple H Monkey has been drafted to Jacked.
Oh, that's good to see. So, what's this?
Hang on, you need the noise.
I don't have it on my phone, so... Oh, thank you, Tom. Breaking news. Triple H's work rate has been drafted to 2001.
Triple H's mobility has been drafted to
his
knees.
Damn it. The good Triple H has gone back to 01. He's not coming back.
Nah, we won't see him again for many, many, many moons.
Speaking of not being seen for many, many years, the Dudleys backstage say if they don't win the titles tonight, it's their last time as a team. But they're in Philly. So make sure they're going to try harder than ever because ECW, tables, fake accents, etc. Lola is disgusted by this lovely moment and wonders why they don't just kiss one another. And then Billy and Chuck show up, staying as a unit as tag champs, along with Rico. Bubba going to Raw, Devon staying on SmackDown. The classless Philly fans chant homos before Chuck gets worked over. On paper, it made sense because the Dudleys had done everything as a duo by this point, and they weren't the same when they got back together later on, but that's beside the point.
No Stacey, by the way, because Stacey got powerbombed through a table
on Raw.
That was last
week, that's right.
And Sky TV cut it out of the UK transmission.
Yeah, I mean,
they don't want, you know, don't look at that. That's awful.
Beep, 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 beep. Shut up. Bubba has got his working shoes on as he tries pinning Billy with a Samoan drop / laying there combo. Rico holds Devon's leg, but they can't prevent the Doomsday device. Rico distracts the ref as Lawler insists it's just because the referee had a bad haircut and Rico was only trying to help. Now and then, Lawler brings you up to like, oh, that's why he's still around.
Yeah.
Devon stupidly runs to chase him, leaving Bubba open to take a famous in the ring, and that ends the Dudley Boys' legendary run. However, Devon returns to deliver the 3D and the Wazza ball shot to Billy before getting the tables one last time. This match is a perfect example of why the brand extension was needed, as there was nowhere near the time given to this, considering its importance, because there's too much stuff to go through already tonight. It was what it was. Also, Bubba's eye is bleeding and all fucked up looking.
Yeah.
Both brothers hug, as Cole says, there goes maybe the greatest tag team of all time. And this was the Dudley's last TV match as a team for 8 months, and Bubba Ray's last appearance on SmackDown for 2 years.
In another time, this would have main evented the show.
Exactly.
You could have had a whole... You didn't need like weeks to build it. You could have built it over a show with little vignettes of why the Dudleys are so important and then just given them a match with Billy and Chuck in the main event. But like you say, there are so many masters to serve currently, and this is why the brand split's happening, because there's too many masters to serve and you can't give this the time it needs. It's the Dudleys' last match. It's in Philly. If they don't win, they lose. They split forever. Like, you... They sold this in like two segments and it could have easily been the focal point of the show.
Yep.
And it wouldn't have felt weird.
Yep.
It would have felt right. But as it is what it is. As you say, it's not the very end of the Dudleys, because they'll have many more happy years together in WWE and elsewhere as well.
Of course. Mm-hmm. That's followed by the APA with much the same thoughts, with Bradshaw telling Tajiri to tell the rest of the guys that we're going to have a party, a blowout to end this era.
Yeah.
Tori stays and they play strip poker. It was 2002.
Nice. Ross report this week says that Farouk loosened a tooth at WrestleMania. Didn't know that. He's fine. He's cracking on. But in the injury report, it just said, Farouk loosened a tooth.
Who's Billy or Chuck's?
Probably everybody's, I think. Oh, hello. Hang on. Breaking news from the Cultaholic Classic Review draft. We can confirm that Dynamite Tom Billington has been drafted to Marlboro Light. And Bulldog Wearing Jeans has been drafted to the Pepper Army Corporation. So congratulations both. Best of luck in your future endeavours.
Oh, damn it. There was a lot of competition there. The Wigan Mines were desperate to have him.
The Wigan Mines were very keen to have him.
Lillian.
Breaking news. In a last minute switch, Bulldog has gone to the Wigan Mines.
Because the ones in Fife are shut.
Because the Fife Mines are closed. And Matthew did stumble across a far funnier punchline than the one that Tom came up with. To the Wigan Mines you go, Bulldog. Congratulations.
I like doing the noise with my mouth. I'm so sorry. What a dickhead I am. I got the button right there. Oh, thank you, Tom. We can confirm that Margaret Thatcher is staying in hell. Oh, perfect timing, Tom. Thank you. I hope that thought warms you through the day like she is currently burning alive. Lillian praises Lita and Matt and Jeff for being drafted together as a big unit.
It's not their fault. They didn't do anything.
Oh, congrats.
Well done.
Jericho shows up and is livid because he should be...
I put livid too.
He's livid. He should be UWU champ still. No rematch into WrestleMania apart from that three-way. And oh god, he just sounds shit. Matt Hardy makes fun of him, and I put in a couple of letters. Matt Hardy calls Jericho a has been. Ooh, that's gonna hurt. So Jericho pushes him into some. I'm trying to get this through. Jericho pushes Matt Hardy into some laundry boxes and then runs away. I put, I hate this shit.
You big bully!
Oh no, not those laundry boxes. Ooh, I hear they can carry like 5 duvets. They're massive.
LT's here, you prick.
Knee went right into a pillow. Ooh.
I'll get you. Did he push Lita as well, though?
I think he pushed Lita.
Big
and
bully.
Then. No, he pushed Matt Hardy, and then Matt Hardy hit the. Oh, it's just like fucking one of those burnout crash modes, isn't it? Jericho pushed Matt Hardy. Matt Hardy hit a laundry box, and because there were some shirts in it, that led gently touch Lita and she fell.
Right. Oh, Vic, I've fallen.
And Sky One were like, well, we'll cut this out. And they were like, why? It doesn't hit the record. He says, no, because it's awful.
Where were those laundry boxes during the Stadium Stampede match? What could have done with them?
Jericho specifically requested, I don't want to see them ever again. Anyway, then Rock and Hogan and Kane talk backstage. Oh. And I thought, oh, it's this. And it's so great because you forget about the build up to this. All right.
Here we go.
Hogan puts over Kane. Oh God, I thought, brother, he's white. He didn't say that. Rock also says he's scary, but he's not King Kong Bundy. Give me 5. Or Kamala. That's Rock making those noises. Who Hogan beat and humiliated. Like Rock at WrestleMania. And then, so they both, Hogan and Rock, have put over Kane.
Like how he's a scary cat.
God, this guy's terrifying. What? And it's like, oh my, that's really good, actually. They're doing that.
I love that.
Then Kane shows up and Rock says, wow, look, he's really scary. Look at this Hogan. And he goes, ooh. And puts his face in front of his face. And Rock, Kane doesn't even flinch.
Yeah, Rock tries to scare Kane by going, boo. And Kane doesn't move. It's great.
And he's like, wow, look at this Hogan. And then Kane does that. It doesn't matter that you're ready.
I've got the whole transcript if you like it.
Go for it. You do better Kane than me.
The Rock asks Kane if he's ready to whoop ass. And Kane says, are you ready? It doesn't matter if you're ready. Tonight, The Rock and Kane team up with Hulk Hogan. And you, this isn't even our bit. This was on SmackDown. And you know something, Linda? Whether the millions... That bit was us.
That's it, yeah.
One of the millions and millions of Rocks fans, or 20,000 Hulkamaniacs, harsh, or 20,000 screaming Canaanites. We've got fans. The question is, brothers, what are you going to do? Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, and X-Pac, what are you going to do when The Rock, Hulk Hogan, and the big red machine run wild on you? He then hot dogs, fucking grandstands. It is the greatest Kane moment ever. It's like he knew this was his last night on the Cultaholic Classic SmackDown review and just fucking went for it. Yep. Yes!
It's the wacky season finale of SmackDown on UPM, followed by Star Trek Voyager repeats.
Now, that's pretty much what's going on. Mm. When you were watching this first time round, what did you make of it?
Honestly, as a kid,
I
was at the wrong time for this. I was like Alvarez. I probably look like what Alvarez looks like now as a kid. And was just like, oh, Kane shouldn't do that.
Yeah,
of course I was. Of course, miserable Matthew. Now I'm older, more miserable Matthew, but I fucking loved it.
If it makes you feel better, I was the same.
Yeah, one time he did it. One time, if this was Kane's new gimmick, that I'm a big Hogan fan, like Abyss in 2010, I would have fucking hated it. But one time, and it's what people remember. It's probably the thing that people remember on the show the most. Probably got the most hits on YouTube, so yeah.
At the time, like you, I didn't like it, but my God, watching this again, knowing the journey that you and I have been on with Kane, this is so fitting that this is his last night on SmackDown, because he becomes like cool Kane, stupid Kane, regular Kane, all of them at once for seemingly our amusement.
Yes, that's how this works. Yes, just for us. None of you people watching this will appreciate it as much as we do.
God
also love that
him.
Lawler exclaimed Canaanite at the same time The Rock mouthed it. A little bit of syncing up.
Oh, I didn't spot
you go back and he goes, I'm the Canaanite. And Rock goes, Canaanite. And Lawler says it. It looks like Lawler's overdubbed Rock.
Oh, nice. Oh, that's great.
The Canaanite. Canaanite is a real thing, by the way.
Also,
not like Kane fans, I should point out. But
also, I like that The Rock has millions of fans, but Hulk Hogan has 20,000. I know what he meant, but it really downplayed how many fans Hogan had.
You know, the rule of three, he was going to say someone else, and if you got like, you didn't want to say like 20 million, but then 20,000 Kane fans,
in my head,
100,000, that's hard to say, I'll just say 20,000.
I Mandela affected this, because I remembered him saying dozens of Canaanites, but I think I've got it mixed up. That's what it was,
exactly.
Wasn't it?
I'm with you.
I remember.
This would make sense for Kane to go, yeah, nobody likes me. No, we fucking love you, Kane. Don't do that comedy. Like
the millions of Rock fans, 20,000 Hulkamaniacs, and Matthew and Tom. Yeah!
And a bunch of diddlers.
That's the diddlers of Kane. Yeah. That's our boy.
And that match is...
Sorry.
News, go on.
Before we get to that match, breaking Cultaholic Classic SmackDown review draft update. The Undertaker has been drafted to the troops, because he does support them, so it makes sense. And podcast William Regal, right? Yeah. When he finishes his sentence, I'll let you know where he's gone. Okay. He's still going. All right, still going. We'll check back on where podcast William Regal's gone, because he's still mid-sentence. All right, back to you, Matt.
I like that. Some good acting there. Oh, is it Undertaker's been drafted to... conflicting reports here. I think it's been drafted to the troops and local drug dealers. They seem at odds at one another, don't they? He's wearing a Crime Inc. shirt in front of the police. All right, whatever. Everyone needs a hobby.
It's an incorporated company. It's on the government website.
Inc. That's right, yes. He's got a tattoo done on his stupid throat.
On his stupid throat!
And to show you what a loaded SmackDown this is... The next match is Hogan, Rock, and Kane versus Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, and X-Pac.
Jesus. Bloody hell.
This is the main event. Giant pops for Rock and Kane. No idea about Hogan as his god-awful overdub theme plays. They should have played You've Done It Now instead.
Should have played Ghost Town with the specials. Yeah. That's your Father Ted reference.
Also, Hogan is still in the fucking NWO colours.
Yeah.
Kind of black and white.
The overdub of Voodoo Child made me ill. It's fucking awful. I get why they've made it that way, because they want it to match the beats, which makes it easier to put other things in, but it's still very hard to put the music over the top of it, and it just sounds rubbish. Yeah. Sorry, Hendrix.
Also, X-Pac is brandishing nunchucks. Oh, I forgot about those. Tabaki is wacky, Stacker 2, and Hungry Man presents what looks like the worst goddamn food on earth. Hungry Man? You know, your food, the food could be advertised the fact that you're hungry. Not the fact that it's filling. You'll eat this and you'll still want more.
Just fucking eat something, mate. Get that down, yeah.
What a waste of money. Rock starts off with X-Pac so the crowd can get their chance out the way. Rock is fast and nimble, though. Quick enough to out-quick X-Pac because he's 0-2 Rock and he rules. Uh-huh. Hall slows Rock down and then Nash really slows down Rock. Who's the bitch now? Hot tag to Hogan, who cleans house to the joy of the crowd. Big boot and leg drop to Hall, but Nash interrupts, enabling Hall to sleep with Hogan so crowd can chant X-Pac sucks, even though he's not doing anything right now. Then Kane tags in and cleans house and crowd goes nuts. No exaggeration. Hogan levels of pop for Kane. X-Pac Bronco Buster is blocked into a chokeslam to end it. And that's the match. Non-stop heat and action for the brief time it was on, with Kane getting the rub. Amazing. And this is, as you've said, the last SmackDown appearance of Kane, Hall, Nash, and X-Pac.
And we can, officially confirm that Cool Kane, Stupid Kane, and Regular Kane, and French Kane have all been drafted to Raw.
Yeah, right. They're like the Bear family from Donkey Kong Country.
They have to all leave together at the same time.
I think I'm going to leave now. Before we fall any deeper.
That's the second Will Young reference in this podcast. Jesus, what's wrong with us?
Well, Will old.
What's he is now. Want to loop back to something that you mentioned last week. Where you talked about how Kev looked legitimately cross with The Rock during their match.
That, there's the speculation at the time. I'm not sure if that's just innuendo and bollocks.
Well, that's what The Observer and The Figure Four Weekly have said. Well, Kevin Nash
if you're going to get innuendo and bollocks, you've got to go to the right place.
Yeah, that's where you get it from. That's the mothership. Yeah, apparently Kevin Nash, according to several sources, was very angry that The Rock went into business for himself and called him Big Daddy Bitch. I just find that deeply ironic from Kevin Nash to go, why are you trying to ruin, why are you trying to de-push me? What are you doing that for? I wouldn't do that.
You've already gone, kill me fucking career. Out the game.
Yeah, now you've gone Hong Kong. No one will ever spend £1 million on me ever again. I'm gonna have to eat. I'm gonna have to have an interview while eating my dinner to make ends meet.
I'm sure the NWO being there is really going down well with the mid-carders. Going, oh, we're taking a pay cut, are we? And these lads are just showing, right, okay, because they're worth so much money. That because we're doing such low business. Because but I have to take it. Right, okay. Cheers.
That's the. It's like the Simpsons. It's like the bit from the Treehouse of Horror where the lower mid-carders of WWF are going, you've been moved to Raw. That's good, but you're taking a pay cut. That's bad. But you'll be on TV more. Well, that's good. But the NWO are on the same brand. Well, that's bad. It's a journey. Really fun six-man tag. Yeah. Holy fuck, putting Kane over like Rover before he leaves forever.
Yeah. Which is the point of the draft. It's like, okay, we can't just have these guys at the top of the card. We now have other people pushed. And it's like, well, cool. There's Kane getting a rub.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Nice there.
Go on, Kane.
And from that, the highs to the lows, Jericho versus Matt Hardy. AEW. Cole says Jericho was a great UWU champion. Let's pause right there. A few seconds. That's enough. Jericho's gear is much more toned down now. Unsure if that's a one-week thing or not. Matt runs the ring to take on Jericho because he's so mad at him pushing him into a laundry box backstage. Everyone knows Matt hates doing laundry. Leg drop with gets two as these guys are powering through their stuff quick.
I knew what you meant because Matt, before his leg drop, goes, oh, but the way he did it made it sound like he was falling through laundry boxes. Oh,
Matt should have shown up with like a shirt wrapped over his head, and, like, yeah.
Pair of pants around his
giant
his
sweater.
Ankles.
Leader lands the Frankenstein off the top, allowing Matt to land the twist of fate for two. However, Jericho blocks a sunset flip into a walls. Accidentally gets pushed into Leader, which distracts the ref, so Jericho low blows Matt for the win at 2 minutes 12. Well, that was something, huh? I've put. Oh, then Jericho puts Leader in the walls because he hates women now, thanks to Steph. Yep. Leader's last appearance on SmackDown. Hardy's last appearance on SmackDown for 5 months.
Oh, end of an ear roll again.
Yeah.
So many.
Pacheco still sucks.
I mean, the Hardys, we've been through some journeys with them. Basically, what we've learned from the Hardys is WWF love them as opening match on SmackDown. The majority of stuff that we've seen from the Hardys have been them in opening tag matches on SmackDown and losing quite a lot. We were there for the singles runs of both, or the splitting of the team that just fell apart immediately, like Play-Doh.
They had that one match that no one liked, and I don't think we liked it either, at Vengeance. Mm. And they went, okay, Undertaker's going to beat you up. I think they were vocal about not having anything to do. So they took him off TV for a few months and put him back on TV. And I was like, cool, we still don't have anything for you. But again, maybe the draft will help. It won't, will it? Because Lesnar's about to kill them for 2 months.
They're going to spend 2 months getting killed by Lesnar, but I do believe one of them wins the singles title this year, in the next few months.
That's right. My Hardy will have a little renaissance. We join half-naked wrestlers having fun with the APA. Tajiri wins the strip poker game, or the round, I should say, and makes Tori take off her necklace. Christian was one card away from a royal flush, so he has a tantrum and bang, bang, bangs the cards, the table, everything around him. And then Bradshaw says something afterwards, but Christian was so loud yelling that he's blown out the audio. So all we hear is Bradshaw go, whoa, 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 and then Farouk going, damn. Which, in fairness, is all you need.
Yeah, I didn't hear what he said either. You couldn't see it on the subtitles either.
Going, so loud, and then it was like, whoa, 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 whoa. I didn't know you could do that with the cameras backstage. Well done, Christian.
He probably said something like, I'm going to be like Stan Hansen when I grow up. That's what he said. I'm going to be a billionaire in a bit.
You know what's money? A rich Texan. Then after that, IC champion Rob Van Dam takes on Test. RVD does the taunt in front of Tommy Chimmel as he announces him. So Chimmel's like, Mr. Rob Van Dam. I thought that was nice.
That was really nice.
RVD making sure Chimmel says his name right.
I mean, Rob Van Dam. Rob Van Dam's got lovely black and gold ring gear. Looks very main event-y. Yeah,
really does. Mm-hmm. So if you had gold that ring gear, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Not you, Dustin Rhodes. Shut up. Sit down. Go eat a catering.
Go play with your stickle bricks. Go away.
Yeah, whatever. Tess is also running through his spots as they've overloaded the show. RVD gets the kick off the top as Tess is running faster than I've ever seen him. Laura's talking about tits. Well, there's one talking right now. Tess only gets two as he pushes the ref. Causing Cole to remind everyone, he's Teflon and can't be fired. We're sticking with that.
Yeah.
That's great. That's a thing, reference from November.
And I'm sure they will pay it off perfectly in November.
Right. It's still gotten a lot longer than I thought, but yeah, okay. Tom's playing faces. And he's quite right. Tess keeps grabbing the ropes on pin attempts, so Earl kicks his hand off. Tess gets stuck another sunset flip, so Earl fast counts Tess because he's such a dick. Nice finish, but we only saw this last year with Big Show versus Hardys, where the referee got so annoyed at Big Show being a dick, he fast counted and they would run away. So it's, I think you need to like wait a few years before doing those things again.
Yeah, you can't just keep pulling them out because it almost makes the refs look like world beaters. That's the other thing.
After Cole's been putting a good job on commentary saying, wow, Test, he's a guy you could build a franchise around. He loses to a ref.
Yeah. So
woohoo.
He gets chat. I mean, we're keeping him on SmackDown, which is nice. So one of the Classic Review friends is definitely staying. But I don't know whether we kind of get a little mini push for him, and because he gets into the King of the Ring, and he and Brock Lesnar have a fucking belter at King of the Ring.
And then after that, it's a bit, well, and we'll get into it, but the Canadian and the American stuff. But RVD's last SmackDown appearance for 2 years. Breaking news.
Oh, hang on.
Sorry. Also, his push has gone with him. tough break, pal. Anyway, backstage, Raven, bloody hell, him getting TV time, quotes Oscar Wilde, which, of course, is a great Oscar Wilde quote we all know, which
we
is,
destroyed
who the
things.
Fuck hired Raven? Nearly got that right. Raven looks horrible with dreads. And we get one last shot to book this match. So here it is. Finally. Because you demanded it. Maven versus Raven.
Yay! Just a quick one about that segment, right? Have I missed a meeting? Because he talks about Maven experiencing the Raven effect. And is that the first time that we officially recognize that the Raven Effect is the new name of the Even Flow?
I don't know. It's been such a long time since he did anything on TV.
Yeah.
Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. Maybe you watched Jacked and Metal.
He's been back since January, like touring, because he's him and Maven are having matches on the house show loop, and they've been and he's been fighting Perry Saturn on the house shows and stuff. But first time on telly in ages.
Yeah. Cole says this match could be confusing. Lola.
Fucking hell.
Lola asks why.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Raven smashes the hardcore champion with bin lids as the Philly crowd cheer. The easily impressed dum-dums. Maven gets dumped over the ropes and tries to land on the apron, but misses. And the ECW crowd get all chanty-wanty at him. Until Tommy Dreamer, the guy who nearly killed Paul Heyman at WrestleMania X7, shows up and helps Raven take the hardcore title to Raw after a drop toe hold on Maven. Again, this is all very, very rushed, but this was Raven Dreamer's last SmackDown appearance.
Oh dear,
how sad, never mind.
So we're not going to see Raven and the hardcore title for a while, nor will we see what WWF Creative has cooked up for Tommy Dreamer, which is a different. I guess it gets him on telly. And it's a thing.
It's 11.
It's 11. Hang on. Breaking news. Linda McMahon has been drafted to SAG-AFTRA.
SAG-AFTRA?
For her crimes against acting. It's a little...
Oh.
It's a little little popular joke there, a little culture joke. Oh. And don't worry, this one brings it back to our level. Lugs have been drafted onto everybody's feet. There we go.
I thought I was going to say, Linda is not appearing on TV due to issues about...
Oh, no.
About AI being...
Why have they gone back onto Raw and SmackDown in 2001 and just overdubbed Linda with AI? Well, the thing is, they haven't.
You can't even see the strings at WrestleMania X7. It's amazing, isn't it?
I imagine if there were strings. Somebody in the fucking ceiling at the Astrodome.
Yeah.
Just...
Look, like, people don't know that the live feed version, when she stood up, they did... He got rid of that. It's bullshit.
If you're not really careful,
fucking George Lucas.
If you're not really careful, you could see a bloke just by the ring with a broom lifting her up.
Yeah, and it shows her face. It's just going hey hey hey. They took all that out on the network. I wonder what version Netflix have put on.
Yeah, why? Maybe Netflix will. If will Vince reinstall
goes,
it.
Linda, and then Linda goes. Time to get busy. You took all that out. You tell people that, they go, what are you on about, you idiot? Fucking bullshit.
The issue that we're going to have when everything moves to Netflix is that we'll be watching like a SmackDown from 2002 and it'll pop up. You seem to be still watching SmackDown from 2002. Why?
Yeah, you still watch this. May we recommend antidepressants?
Put the Gilmore Girls back on.
Yeah, you leave me in my nostalgia alone. I want the Golden Girls back on.
If something just happened and SmackDown does go out the wazoo, don't worry, because we are going to do the Cultaholic Classic Gilmore Girls review. Because we can get that on Netflix. I'm here for that.
I'm not.
Great. You'll love
I'm
it.
Only vaguely aware of the Gilmore Girls.
Oh, it's wonderful television wallpaper. It's like everything and nothing happens in it. It's lovely. It's really just like soft focus 90s comedy drama.
Well, speaking of nothing happening.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Vince and Kurt backstage say that free agent Austin may show up on Raw. He may also tell creative to piss off.
Did you notice Vince's fuck up in this?
What did you say?
So Vince was chatting to Kurt Angle and he says, I can't believe that we lost the hardcore title to that creep Maven.
Did he say Maven?
He said, I rewound it several times. He said Maven. I guess he hates Raven so much, he can't even bring himself to say his name.
He's so angry, he can't even say he's that right, yeah.
So apparently Maven's still the hardcore champion.
Oh, well.
Yeah, and Austin is apparently on Raw next week.
Maybe. No. They did not confirm this. He said
there's a rumor.
Which is true. He may be there. Yeah. They don't know.
It's a real gamble if you haven't sorted anything out yet to even mention that on telly.
And if they do that, they could say, well, Angle said that. We didn't say that. Ooh, what a crazy period for WWE this was.
If someone says something shitty like that in a podcast, then you can kind of dismiss it, right? But if they're saying it on the program, then it adds a little bit of mileage. Case in point, this past Monday on Raw, where they have that video package with Hulk Hogan, and he goes at the end, the thing about the Rumble is the wild cards. You never know. I might have one left in me. Now, if he'd said that on fucking James's wrestling podcast,
yeah,
you'd just go, whatever, mate. But WWE have seen that, recorded it, edited it, produced it, broadcast it.
There was a lot of Hogan on Raw this week.
You're like, yeah. Uh-oh. We'll find out in a few hours, won't we? brother.
Oh, dude, it'd be so great for in London and people are like, Hogan's here. Boo! Oh, it'd be fucking great.
Yeah.
Fuck that racist. Back in the APA office with everyone having fun until Regal shows up to laugh at the Lonely Tarts. My favorite Beatles album.
Owner of the Lonely Tarts. Thank
you. And he says he was right last week. APA is out of business because they're being drafted. He did say that last week. So the party is over, right? And Bradshaw goes, yup. So he drags Regal over the table and through the beers and everyone goes, and runs away. And the topless APA says, well, I guess that's the end. And they just walk together as friend and friend, partner and partner. They leave through the door, obviously, and change the sign from open to close, and they shake hands, and then the light dims. And bloody hell, that was, dare I say it, really well done and heartfelt, considering it's the fucking APA who do strip poker and do, you know, hey, it's the stars from Rollerball. How are you doing? their last TV appearance as a team for over a year. This was amazing.
Fucking cinema,
I loved you putting on Twitter with the EastEnders.
Oh, yeah, so I put over it with Julia's theme, which is the extended version of the EastEnders end credits.
Yeah.
And it just very poignant. Oh, cry every time. It was brilliant. So well done. God damn it. Like, and do you know what? And I think there was some honesty there, because they were being split. And everyone's being split, and I know, like, you know, it's all characters and lol. But when you watch that and you see Farouk and Bradshaw shake hands, I swear, like, Bradshaw's eye glistens a bit, almost like he's tearing up a little bit because he knows this is like the end of an era for him. And I know they're men and beer, etc. But you know, you are allowed to be a bit sad if you're a bloke. That's all right. Something I very much advocate for. And I think Bradshaw was a little bit emotional. That was the end of the APA, and rightly so. Like, working with Ron Simmons for a guy like John Layfield. Like, that's great. What a great exposure. What a great run it was. What a brilliant wrestling gimmick.
Oh,
so good.
I don't think there's ever a better example of the gimmick being so much better than the wrestlers, because people go, it's the ABA, and then the bell ring, like, oh yeah, right, whatever. But like, that gimmick backstage, perfect.
It's a gimmick I've explained to non-wrestling fans, like Alex. I've just gone, so their thing is, wrestlers come into their office and they hire them to beat people up. That's brilliant. Yeah.
It was great. So good. People seem to forget. It was so good. On WCW TV in 2000, Chronic just did the exact same thing.
Yeah, they ripped it off.
We're just going to do that.
Mm-hmm. I'm gobsmacked not more people ripped it off, to be honest. I think it's a brilliant gimmick.
I'm amazed it hasn't been brought back.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, Farouk and Bradshaw are up there in years now. But you know what? We live in the year of the reboot. Is there... Which modern team would you cast? I'm not saying calling them the new APA, because that's the kiss of death.
Dirty Deeds, Thunder, Cheap, something like that.
Yeah. Who would you cast on WWE television that would do that now?
Bronson Reed.
Oh, yeah, yes!
Just need that, because he's not doing much other than taking his shades off and then on again. And he's a big bruiser.
And he's already been paid off by The Miz to do stuff, so they've already laid the groundwork for that.
Mm.
Big bad Bronson Reed.
Yeah.
He'd be brilliant. I was going to say Authors of Pain. With Paul Ellering as like their...
That would be way more interesting.
Their account manager.
Now. Yeah.
So if you want to book him, you have to go to Paul. And they go, can I book him for next week? And they go, oh, we'll see. You know, yeah. And he's the used car salesman that has to...
Yeah.
That books them out. And then you got a nice little story there, maybe, when one week he books them out and then they feel morally obligated to not go. And then there's the juxtaposition of character there. You could do that.
That would actually be really good. And was just like, all right, we're going to do... Who do you want us to beat up? Karrion Kross. Kross like, ha-ha, we just started as a team. And the AOP go, yeah, we'll do it.
Yeah.
Well, no, we've got matching T-shirts.
JBL spoke on The Bump in 2021 about the end of the APA.
Ooh, that hurt.
And he said, we knew it wasn't going to last forever. We couldn't be doing this... doing it to this day.
Yep.
We can go back and do backstage stuff, but we wouldn't be in the ring now backing that up. We couldn't back that up anymore. So we knew at some point it was going to end, which I hated. I would have been happy being an APA member my entire life. If JBL had never appeared and I'd retired at the end of the APA, I'd have been perfectly fine with that.
Dude, he would have gone down as like, oh, I remember Bradshaw, how fucking great he was. Yeah, this has been literally the end of his career. It's like, oh man, that fucking gimmick.
Yeah, it would have been amazing. Yeah. Wouldn't it? It would have been amazing. Except so we got
years of him going, oh God, this guy's doomed.
I'm a millionaire. You're like James Bond.
Hey, Germany, who's this remind you of?
Oh, yeah, that happens as well. Yeah. I mean, do you know what's funny is we're talking all about this. We get the APA back in about a year's time on SmackDown.
But like the Dudleys, it's like,
it's a bit of a nostalgia.
It's like, oh, well, that didn't work. Let's go back to this.
Maybe. So,
anyway.
Hang on.
Breaking news.
I can confirm that the Stinker has been drafted to WWF New York. And, WWF New York has been drafted to the bin. So a double whammy there. Congratulations to the Stinker on your draft to WWF New York and consequently
really
into the bin.
Who's the Stinker?
Diamond Dallas Page. Stalker.
Oh.
Don't you know your own lore?
No.
They knew it, listening. They were there with me going, ah, it's DDP.
They're yelling in their metro home. Matthew, you idiot, the Stinker's DDP.
The Stinker.
You're a stinger, Matthew. It's in your podcast ability. Anyway, never mind smelliness. Kurt Angle and Vince McMahon take on the world UU champion Triple H and Ric Flair. Lola laughs at Flair coming out with no top on but dress pants, saying he's untanned and looking like a pit of milk. That's what he says, pit of milk. Meanwhile, Rick is prawn pink as usual. So I don't know what the hell was happening there. Vince does his freak poses while Lola wonders if Cole will end up on BattleBots next week.
Oh, for God's sake. That's a great...
BattleBots.
We can confirm Michael Cole has indeed been drafted to BattleBots.
Oh, that's great. And beep, beep, beep. Roadblock will be taking his place on commentary. Oh no, BattleBots, I'm sorry, I'm thinking Robert was.
Oh, so Killalot's on SmackDown.
He's going to take the APA's gimmick. Sir Killalot, I need you to beat up DDP.
Vim, vim.
Here comes Sir Killalot. Drinking beers and smoking cigars backstage.
You beat Sir Killalot by just being on a slightly higher incline.
They don't know that.
They don't.
Flair tags in because Triple H is scared of Big Vince. So Vince tags in Kurt because he's scared of him. Flair gets the poke the eye early as the crowd woos loudly. Lawler says, he's the dirtiest owner of the game. That's good, that. I think Activision have you there. It's topical. Triple H tags in and, of course, dominates Kurt. Come on, where have you been? Flair comes in to strut and ham it up. Angle escapes and lands a back suplex so Flair can go, oh, God! Oh, my God! Flair would do every match. I
love
about
Flair
that.
Selling.
Vince demands a tag and gets it to complete silence as Lola yells, wow, listen to that roar! Nearly making cold cups. Oh. You spot that? There isn't a single fucking pop of Vince.
No one cared. No one cared.
Lola clearly doesn't care because he's last SmackDown for a few years. Wow, listen to that roar. Risky business, mate.
Very.
You can join the XWF any day now.
Well, he knows that Vince isn't watching.
He's in
the ring.
Yeah. Hey, good victory on Maven, eh? Vince tries to do the figure four, but Flair kicks him off, and Vince runs away after a few chops. No one reacts to that for some reason. Flair dares to do mat holds on Kurt, who immediately reverses. I mean, yeah, come on, man, he's Olympian. Triple H DDT's angle, but Vince is still able to apply the figure four on Flair, kinda. Flair reverses it, bringing in the adults of the crowd to make noise. So Triple H goes to pedigree, but Vince uses the title on Triple H. But Triple H kicks out, because he's the game. Hot tag to Flair, who comes off top with a messy chop, I think. Crowd is forgiving, or drunk. Flair batters Vince some more as the crowd sound done. Flair locks in the figure four while Kurt brawls with Triple H, but it's that damn Red Devil Undertaker who big kicks Flair while dressed as a moody teen.
Booger Red!
Booger off. Allowing Vince to get the pin and Undertaker drags him away. Flair's last SmackDown appearance and Taker's last SmackDown appearance for 5 months. Just a crazy sprint of breakups and angles. Some worked and some didn't.
I think the crowd were very quiet on this one, which Jerry Lawler was keen to point out. I think they've been burned out because...
Dude, it's been such a crazy episode of SmackDown. It's like, yeah, we're done, mate.
Thrown a lot at a crowd in a two-hour space.
They just want to wipe their dick on the curtains and leave.
It's a great image, that is.
Sorry.
I enjoyed Flair resting in his trousers like it was 2000 WCW again. Do you remember that New Blood Millionaires Club thing where Flair was like, I'm going to fight every week, yeah, so I'm not going to put my gear on.
I missed when that was apparently an order from whoever was doing management going... People don't want to see your saggy tits anymore, Flair. So he had Hawaiian shirts on, and he looked like when they like updated Donald Duck for Quack Attack. And they were like, I'm going to make him cool. No one wears sailor outfits in the 90s. He goes, aha, Hawaiian shirt. He's a big fat party animal or a crazy gay guy.
I kind of get why Flair had such crisis of confidence as he arrived in the WWF in 2002. Because it sounds like a lot, whilst he was so successful and so good for WCW, like a pillar of WCW, it was kind of scattered with people going, you're shit, you're old, cut your hair, change your gimmick, you pasty, old tits, fat, crap, shit, go away.
Well, no, Lola hates him because he's saying all this stuff because he's the evil.
No. But I mean, Lord. I'm not talking about Lawler, but your story about in 2000, he was told, no one wants to see your tits, put a shirt on. And you had Jim Herd going, no one cares about Flair, you're now Spartacus, cut your hair. Bischoff going, like, you weren't a draw in this company, get yourself away. Like, it seems like everybody had it in for Flair. It's not, no one's fair to Flair.
Oh, yeah, you're right. There's 200 years of being on top you had before that.
He did have a lot of time on top, but I can see by somebody, as somebody who... often takes criticism far too much to heart. I can see why Ric Flair had a crisis of confidence. Yeah.
The APA had a really good 2-year run, but fucking, oh, sorry. Sorry for a combined 6 months of Flair's run on WCW. Your tits are sagging, mate.
I'm not saying it's justified. I'm not saying it's not justified.
They instructed Gary Michael Capetta to go, hailing from saggy tits. Rick Flair.
That's lovely.
Good Mike, Michael Capetta.
Last SmackDown with all the friends together, all the boys together, and girls. What did you remember?
The Canaanites.
Yes.
I remember not liking it. Mm. Oh, silly Kane, I don't like fun, blah, blah, blah. But now as an adult, I'm like, they did it one time, mate. He's going to Raw. Kane was over. It was over on the level of Hogan. I'm like, okay, yeah, that's a good idea. What about yourself, mate?
I remember that, obviously, but I also remembered the final match of the Dudleys. like that, even in just like 10 minutes worth of showtime, it still felt significant. If they don't win the titles, they split forever. Like, how much more fun that would have been if they'd given it a whole show, but I get why they didn't, serving lots and lots of masters. What did you forget?
The APA.
Yeah.
I was watching it back going, because it's one of those moments, I guess, you'll all realize, maybe people in real life will have one of these moments, or maybe it's just for a big party, and you realize, the party's over. It is time to go. Mm. You have these moments, maybe in real life parties, maybe it's just a metaphor or simile for something, where you realize that it is time to move on. And it can get you. It's a very relatable moment. It's not often we get these moments in WWE, and we're going to get a lot more crazier in gimmicks and storylines, to say the least. So when you get these real life things where people can go, yeah, that's right, you know. I've got to be moving on, yeah.
And I'm going to say that. Never change. I'm going to say that as well for mine. I think, because it's just, again, it just caught me completely off guard with how sentimental it was.
Yeah. Everybody gangster until the comedy guys get serious.
Yeah, it's so true.
Oh. And just, you know, how simple and effective it was, where open the close, the thing we've seen for, like, that could have ended like Crossroads or Open All Hours. I guess we're shut all hours now. Like, that could have been a proper soap moment. And I was like, I can't believe how good this was.
So good.
The lights dimmed.
Bravo.
Wow.
Bravo.
You know, they left and then inexplicably, the Lord is my shepherd. Stop playing over top. That was a bit weird. Linda, Robo Linda started doing kickflips.
That made us
feel. Stay tuned for a new Star Trek Voyager. Like, that's not Linda. That might have been edited.
Stay
off your
tuned
version.
For a new Star Trek Voyager. There she is. She's here.
Now being drafted from Voyager
to Deep Space Nine.
6 of 9. Wait, what was her fucking name?
6 of 9.
She was the name 6 of 9.
She was one that fought the Rock.
Did they really call her 69?
I don't.
Boy, that show was really desperate. That show was really desperate for, like, ratings are down. We're going to get a sexy Borg woman who's 6 of 9. Is it really a fucking name? Anyway,
yeah,
so.
Yeah, sure. Or is it 7 of 9?
7 of 9. 7 of 9. That's right.
Are we just,
like, that's all right.
Maybe we're just horny and we just call her 6 of 9.
Boy, I loved that show as a kid. So, Tom, what have you got?
On the podcast feed right now, in the wake of the news of WWE selling up to Netflix.
Oh, it's been a crazy changes in WWE.
Yeah. We did a special report where on the podcast feed where I spoke to people from Fightful. I spoke to Brian Kennison from OVW about the impact that Netflix had on their bottom line. I spoke to BJ Colangelo, the editor of Slash Film, to see like how this could affect the bigger world of cable. And how potentially it could be the beginning of the end of cable if a move like this is successful.
Who did you speak to? BJ?
BJ Colangelo.
Oh, I loved him in Wolfenstein.
Hey! Had a chat with Brandon Thurston from WrestleNomics.
Oh, cool.
We got into the weeds.
Wow, you really went in deep in this. In like
hell
a few days.
Yeah,
Jesus,
mate.
Well done, Tom.
We did a 24-hour turnaround on this, mate. Great chat with him about like sort of the numbers and the big significance of this. Had a chat with the guys from Hooked on Wrestling because under this new model, this essentially will shut their business. That will be the end of Hooked on Wrestling. And their they do watch parties around the UK.
Right. Oh, shit.
Yeah. And with the change...
Are we going to have to do the closed thing?
We might be doing
Oh, my God.
We might be doing the closed thing. Wow. But we talk about that. And obviously, you know, there's a lot of times between now and January, so things could change. But certainly we talk about the impact that it's had on them. And as I say, Brian from OVW was great and talk about how Netflix was a boon to their business and it still continues to be. Aidan Gibbons is here for the meat and potatoes news of it all as well from our editor-in-chief at Cultaholic.com. It's a 30-minute podcast. It's waiting for you there. Stick it in your ears and we'll tell you everything that we know on this moving beast of a wrestling news story. Wow. And Box Park tonight.
Yeah.
See you in a few hours at Wembley. Anything you want to plug?
Nah. New Botchmania will be on.
New Botchmania.
I say it every week.
I know, but it's good to remind people.
Yeah.
Retention and all that. Yeah. 499, is it episode 499?
No, 487.
I thought we were far closer to the 500. I thought we were far closer.
Don't worry about it.
This is my last classic review in my 30s. Isn't that the thing? That's the thing.
Well, the party's over.
I'm just closed on.
Yeah.
Closed on Tom's brittle bones.
Oh, stop it. You're only as old as you feel, Tom.
The only as old as the woman you feel. Thankfully, the woman I feel is 32.
Yeah. Jurassic Park.
We'll have more wrestling news as well throughout the week at cultaholic.com. He's at Matthew Gregg on Twitter. I'm at Tom Campbell on Twitter. And together we're at Cultaholic on Twitter. See you at Fox Park!
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.